You found it, and it's different. The Joan Kenley Show, Saturdays at 5, right here on 960 The Quake.
Hi, my name is Dot Maver, and I'm the executive director of the Peace Alliance, campaigning for a U.S. Department of Peace. Our mission is to advocate for legislation that supports a culture of peace, and we are part of the Global Alliance for Ministries and Departments of Peace. As you probably know, Congressman Dennis Kucinich has introduced a bill calling for a U.S. Department of Peace and Nonviolence in the House of Representatives, 3760. This legislation is supported by FLEA of the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Visit Our Tables at their concerts throughout this fall, throughout the United States. Walter Cronkite is in support of a Department of Peace, and he says it's not just a piece of legislation. It's a philosophical revolution. It is time to have structures in our governments that embody the principles of a culture of peace and that promote a focus on peace building and encourage partnership between government and civil society. As we join others around the world celebrating International Peace Day, we invite you to join us in Walks for Peace in cities throughout the United States. For more information about the Peace Alliance and Walks for Peace, visit www.thepeacealliance.org. It will take all of us working together to create a world that works for everyone.
Hi, I'm Louise Diamond, founder and CEO of The Peace Company. I have a unique perspective on peace, which is that we need now to start building a peace economy and show that peace is good business. And therefore, The Peace Company is created as a for-profit entity to provide resources for people who choose to walk the peace path, who choose to make peace in their lives and in the world. And one of our premier products is a book that I wrote some years ago called The Peace Book, 108 Simple Ways to Make a More Peaceful World. This book was written with the intention of saying, those of us who love peace, who choose peace, who want to build peace in our world, what can we do about it? Let's get practical. Now, the unique thing about the Peace Book is that you can't buy it in a store. You buy it from us in bulk, although you can buy individual copies. We encourage people to buy it by the box full and give it away, because peace grows when you give it away. You can get this book from The Peace Company, www.thepeacecompany.com.
Welcome back to the Joan Kenley Show. I'm Joan Kenley, where we are celebrating the International Day of Peace, held every year throughout the world on September 21st, and this is the 25th anniversary. President Dwight D. Eisenhower, who was also a renowned Army general, he said once, "I like to believe that people in the long run are going to do more to promote peace than our governments." Now, how about that? He said this that many years ago. He said, "Indeed, I think that people want peace so much that one of these days governments had better get out of the way and let them have it." And I can't believe in my own heart, in my own soul, that we haven't learned our lessons from all the wars in the past. It makes no sense. To me, war is the stupidest thing that ever happened on the planet. Why somebody has to have power over another, why somebody has to win by killing men, women, and children. And it distresses me terribly. That's all I can say. And the fact that we're talking about something that's positive and peaceful is just really great to be having this conversation today with Charles Gibbs, who's executive director of United Religions Initiative and Pathways to Peace co-founder and president, Evan Madison. So we're now going to talk about how action in the world, as you know it, has shown you specific ways that peace action does work. And you have a story about your daughter, Charles.
Sure. My daughter, Naomi, who is now a senior in high school, 2 years ago was a co-organizer of a March demonstration that was called Fund Our Town, Not the War, that attempted to show how critical city services were being cut at the same time a great deal of tax money was going into war.
And they were how old when they started this?
They were 15 years old.
Isn't that amazing?
It was extraordinary working with the fire chief and the chief of the police and the city manager to talk about what we were losing by investing in war and what we weren't investing in that could help make the community and by extension the world a more peaceful and productive place.
Was that a one-of-a-kind program or did other cities pick that up?
I think there were probably similar things, but it wasn't a chain
event. It wasn't.
Event, no.
Yes, but what a brilliant idea.
It was thrilling as a parent to sit and see your daughter standing next to her congresswoman and presenting her at a demonstration in favor of investing in peace.
Well, it seems that many people could take that lesson with them and move it into the schools and into their communities. And Avon, what are some of the specific things, because you've been at the UN and you've been so many places around the world and you've been in presidents' conferences, and what are some of the inspiring stories that come to your mind today?
I want to pick up first on a very important point you said, linking back to peace, that has to do with these practical acts of peace help us to realize that peace is not this abstract idea for which we don't have responsibility, but it's a dynamic, creative, most powerful process with which everyone can get engaged. It's just a commitment and a shift in awareness. And on Peace Day, this was a few years ago, there was a group of students who were definitely... there was a problem that they were having with government and with others within, and they just wanted to not demonstrate for peace, but just to begin peace education. So they utilized the Culture of Peace Initiative, which was then known as the We the People's Initiative, and they had this letter that was a formal letter about their participation in this annual Peace Day, and it had a UN Peace Messenger Initiative symbol on it and all of this sort of stuff. And they held that up and they just said, we do not want to be killed for standing for peace. We want to work with you. So they began to get together students in the area as well as government leaders and the so-called others.
Mm.
And because the Civil War had broken down all communication systems, they went back to one that had not been used in a long time. They drummed the messages of peace all the way around Sierra Leone.
Oh, how amazing.
And there was a unified movement inaugurated by a handful of students called Gateway to Peace,
mm-hmm.
that did this in a bombed out organization that they had that was now just two sheets of aluminum with a tiny piece of wood in the middle, and that was their office. And to this day, they are carrying on that work. And the others that remain just are so phenomenal in my mind are the diverse expressions of peace that are as diverse as humanity is. And that's what's so extraordinary, getting back to your idea about asking Charles about, is this being replicated? What we're attempting to do with the Culture of Peace Initiative and the InternationalDayOfPeace.org website is to give examples of these brilliant acts of peace that are happening with you and you and you, all that are the simple things like making certain that you pick up your own litter or that you recycle, or an act of kindness to somebody who's a stranger or who might have been, quote, the other. And by seeing examples of what happens in the world, what it does is it sparks that idea, I too can do this, and it's as simple as what I already do in my everyday life, but I never thought of as an act of peace, and that's the transformation.
Don't Irene Kai and David Wick have a pass-along peace message that they're giving people little cards about peacemaking that can be done through the internet now, and it's called Peace Messages, I believe?
Yes, Messages of Peace.
Yes, yes.
And you can go and obtain those through the cultureofpeace.org website.
Exactly.
And the idea is that why don't we make peace contagious?
Exactly. I mean, they've said that some things can be contagious that aren't good, and we're talking about something that is a building contagion. At the beginning of the show, I said, wouldn't it be great if peace activism could catch on as the thing to do. And if the wrong thing to do is to be nasty to your neighbor or angry at your partner at work, I mean, these are the things that we want to break down. I mean, having a peaceful response in a challenging circumstance is hard. And sometimes people feel that the challenges of war are going to just defeat us all. And illness can break our spirit. We know that. And depressing or negative thoughts can overwhelm us. But there are amazing ways that we can choose, and this is a choice, peaceful living as a day-to-day experience for yourself. I mean, that's really where it starts. Let there be peace on earth. Let it begin with me. And for instance, if you're attempting to be peaceful, how do you assert yourself in a moment of conflict? It might be that you have to learn by going to the PathwaysToPeace.org website and learning some of the principles on the peace wheel, by going to the URI.org website and saying, what makes this organization work with their people in peaceful ways? What are the suggestions, the ideas, the protocols? We can learn to be more peaceful. As a psychologist, I know that inside, people have such negative conversations with themselves that create disharmony and an inner peaceful life that seems so unattainable. But there are concepts and practices and suggestions and all kinds of ways that we can not just grab onto, but ask people to join us. Just as we know, groups help groups. There are circles of peace. There are circles of conversation. There are dialogue groups that come together. And in small groups of 8 or 10, what if you talked about ways to be peaceful all day with the people that you know and love, rather than talking about what you're doing next week and what video game is up for you this week? And so there are things about conversation, and that's what this show is about, that wants to take the subject to the next level. So remember, if you would say, let's take Thursday night as an example, and invite the family to have conversation that you don't normally have, and have a question at the dinner table, or have a subject or a theme, the way we have a theme on this show, and say, how could we be more peaceful in the week to come? What would be the things that would take the scratchiness or the disattention out of this family dynamic? Or what would we do when we're having trouble with a friend and we don't want to speak to that friend about it? Hide it under the carpet? No, that's how do we bring it forward? How do we tell the truth and stay kind? How do we stay kind and be able to risk losing a friend in order to gain more friendship? These are some of the conversations that interest me. And I think we have to develop a capacity. It's a developmental thing to be equitable and peaceful regardless of the circumstances. And so do you find that these challenges come up in both of your organizations as you are working in the world? I mean, Charles, I'm sure you have had experiences of the challenges as well as the exaltation of success.
It's one step to be able to see a new way of being. It's another thing to step into it and inhabit it. And from my experience in the spiritual world, you talk about spiritual practice. There's a reason it's practice. You have to keep doing it, whether it's a prayer practice, a meditation practice, a mindfulness that helps you be in a different kind of relationship. Every spiritual tradition has resources that can help us be more peaceful. I love the Buddhist teaching that says every human being has within him or herself the seeds of everything a human being is capable of.
I do love that too.
And we need to nourish the seeds of peace that exist within each of us. And the resources are both vast, but also tiny. When you think of what the human species has invested over millennia in developing the tools of war and violence, and compare that to what we've invested in developing the tools of peacefulness, we're babies.
We are babies.
And it's late in the day. Yes. That's why this work is so important. We need to raise the visibility of this work and say, let's all invest in learning more about how to be peaceful.
And having the conversation. I mean, have it again and again and again. Mm-hmm. Not just with ourselves, but with those we know and love. And not just our family. I mean, when's the last time we talked to our neighbor about what we believe is truly heartful and full of peace? And even in your own work, I know that you are always changing and growing and working with peaceful ways?
Peace is service learning. That's the beauty of the dynamic, active process of peace. And the fact that it is present with us as an innate potential and our innate, we say in Pathways to Peace, peace is both an innate state of being and a dynamic transformative process. And every day is a challenge in terms of some of the work that we are called on to do in the world and here in the United States, but also within one's own self, how to maintain a simple practice that helps you to remain true to what you know is the path of integrity, which is really the pathway to peace.
And I think the sooner we talk to children about these methods of focusing on peaceful behavior. We had a program on Montessori schools and Waldorf schools, and they talk a great deal to very young children about being connected to another child, even if they're in a competition in a sports event, about how to recognize the value of the person in the event and how to look at the world through artistic eyes and growing eyes and musical eyes, and how to integrate that in mind, body, heart, and soul. And so there is the way that the family is involved in the education, and then we have our churches where people come in community and can pray and learn together. And also we have conversation groups that are as holy as going to church if we are talking about things that matter. We want to close by saying it requires hope to believe that we can truly make peace a reality. When we have a shared hope with others, the possibilities become exponential. And I want you to go and look up on your websites Code Pink's Declaration of Peace, Robert Mueller's More Than 5,000 Ideas to Bring Peace into Your Life, The Prayer for the Earth Vigil in Washington, D.C., Peace by Peace, Connecting Women for Peace, The Culture of Peace Initiative, the U.S. Department of Peace, the Peace Alliance, Messages of Peace, and Louise Diamond's Peace Company. And we have a much more extensive list on our website, joankenley.com, K-E-N-L-E-Y. And I want to give you these final words. In the book, Choose Peace and Happiness, a 52-week guide by Susan Reeve, Elsa Joy Bailey says, "Inner peace floats into our presence like a surprise summer mist, moistening the dry spots, calming the tides, combing the tangles, feeding the hungers, and all I know is, without it, I'm nothing." I'd like to say to everyone tuned in, thanks so much for listening. We want you to know that The Joan Kenley Show brings you conversation radio that's co-created for your listening pleasure with our guests. We appreciate the richness of service of those we were privileged to have on our show today. We hope everyone in our audience will be celebrating peace within and with others each day of the year. Do think of peace as joyful, technicolor, expansive, powerful, and life-affirming. If personal change can change the world, could you choose each morning to behave more peacefully with yourself and others? I think it's a great idea. By the way, we want to pay tribute to Marin's premier International Day of Peace celebration that featured guest speakers James O'Day, Joni Mizrak, and Dr. Thomas Pinkson. Be sure to tune in next week. We'll be having a revealing conversation about the dilemma of mothers in the workplace with Joan Blades, co-founder of MoveOn.org and MomsRising.org, and Helen Grieco, executive director of California Now. We'll hear by phone from UC Hastings law professor Joan Williams. Huge thanks go to those who made this show possible, Peter B. Collins, Christy Healy, and Jean Langmuir. And here in the studio, program producer Shari Berger and Shane Sharkey, engineer and technical producer. Tune into our show for more Conversation Radio every Saturday at 5:00.